The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
This past week, I watched one of the most important films I've ever seen. It's also one of the most difficult to watch. It's called Forsama. In 2011, protests began in Syria, and people were calling for democracy, for civil rights, for political reform. They wanted President Bashar al-Assad to give away his power, to step down. And at that time, Waad al-Khatib was a university student in Aleppo. She joined the protests, but she was also interested in journalism, so she took her camera everywhere, and she filmed everything she saw. And at that time, there was so much hope in Aleppo, so much promise for a better future, where there would be greater freedom, greater flourishing. So much hope. But then government forces began bombing Aleppo again and again and again. And the civil war grew more intense. But Waad, she continued filming. She filmed for 5 years. 5 years in Aleppo. And during those 5 years, she fell in love with Hamza, a doctor who was running a hospital in Aleppo. And she got married to Hamza, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a little girl, Sama. They live most of their life in the hospital that Hamza is running. And little Sama grows in that hospital as war rages in the streets, as bombs fly through the air around them. Aleppo was the largest city in Syria in 2015, but the population dropped by two-thirds as war continued. So many buildings were destroyed, so many lives were destroyed. But Waad and Hamza decided to stay because they believed in a better future for Syria. They believed in the cause. And so Hamza kept serving the hospital. They kept raising their daughter, Sama. The film is a rare look at war from a female perspective. But truly, at its heart, it's a love letter from a mother to her daughter about how, in the midst of a war, in the midst of a broken, messy situation, this child brought hope. This child embodied for them a better future that they were fighting for. Our Old Testament reading from the prophet Isaiah takes place in a messy situation. The Assyrian Empire is pressing down on the northern kingdom of Israel and on Syria and other allies, and the kingdom of Judah is beneath it all, feeling the pressure. And King Ahaz in Judah is wondering, whose side should I take? How can I protect my power? And as Ahaz is feeling this pressure and wondering what to do, God speaks to Ahaz through Isaiah. He speaks about a promise. The virgin is going to have a baby. She will give birth to a son, and he will be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. How is that a help in the midst of war? How is a mother and a child helpful when political powers are pressing in? And yet, in the midst of all that, God gives us this promise, a child who gives us reason to hope for a better future. Our reading from Matthew began with a promise, the promise of a hopeful future. Mary and Joseph had promised to get married. Promised to get married. The story begins with an engagement. It's wonderful. It's exciting. There's so much hope here. The possibility of families being united, the possibility of love growing, and the possibility of children and grandchildren. It's such a hopeful start to the story. That's when things get messy. Mary is pregnant, but she and Joseph aren't living together. They're not married yet. It could mean only one thing. Mary has slept with another guy. At that time and in that culture, to be engaged was really as binding as marriage. So to break off an engagement meant divorce. It was not a small thing. Do you remember the story from the Gospel of John when a group of scribes and Pharisees bring a woman who was caught in adultery? They bring her to Jesus, and they say, "Jesus, should we stone her?" They ask Jesus because that's what the law of Moses says. She should be stoned. Adultery was a capital crime. It could be punishable by death. Now, in the small town of Nazareth where Joseph and Mary live, no one wants to stone a pregnant teenager. But at the very least, Joseph must divorce her. There's really no choice here. If he didn't divorce her, he would break God's law. And Joseph is also afraid of the shame he would bring on his family name by marrying her. So Joe, he thinks long and he thinks hard about all his options. What can he do? And divorce is his only option. But Joe's a good guy. He doesn't want to do more harm. He wants to try to protect to contain the damage. He doesn't want to shame Mary in public, so he plans to divorce her quietly. He knows there's already enough shame waiting for her in their small town. He knows what the neighbors will whisper behind their back. "You know, Mary, you know, Joe, he might not even be the father." All the whispers, all the shame. The story began with a promise, with a hopeful future. And things get messy. It seems the promise must be broken. It seems this hopeful future is lost. Last week, I texted Seppa about a difficult situation, and I told him, "You know, I'm sorry to hear about this. This must be a difficult challenge for you." And do you know what Seppa said to me? He said, "Pastor Andrew," I'll read his text, "there's no appetite without hunger. We have to be in darkness in order to see the stars. There's no solution unless there's a problem. God always intervenes at the end where our intelligence ends. God didn't prevent Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from being thrown into the fire, but he saved them in the terrible danger at the last minute." Seppa's preaching at me on text message. And he's right. Seppa gets it. He understands the gospel. He's learned a lesson I'm still learning. That with God, our only option isn't our only option. With God, our only option isn't our only option. That with God, there's always more that's possible than we can see or ask or imagine. With God, there's always a way where there doesn't seem to be a way. That's when God makes a way. When Joseph knows his only option is to divorce Mary, when he has no choice left, that's when God shows up for Joseph. And he brings a new possibility, a new hope for a new future. The angel said, "Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. The baby inside her is from the Holy Spirit." That was not an option on Joseph's radar. The baby inside her is from the Holy Spirit. With God, the only option isn't the only option. And when Joseph wakes up from this dream, he wakes up into a new world, a world where Emmanuel has been conceived in a woman's womb, God with us, a world where God has come to be with us, to walk with us, to live with us, to make a way where there is no way. It's easy for us to forget that God didn't have to save the world or to save it in this way instead of another way. God is always perfectly free to do what God wants. God could have saved the world by standing at a distance and speaking a word like God did in Genesis. He said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God could have said, "Let there be salvation," and there was salvation. But that's not how God wanted to save the world. Ever since God first opened his mouth to speak creation into being, God has moved closer and closer and closer to us because God wants to be with us, to have fellowship with us. We see this in the Garden of Eden when God walked in the garden at the cool of the day. He wanted to be with Adam and Eve. He wants to be with us. He doesn't want to stay at a distance. And even though Adam and Eve get themselves in the biggest mess in history, when it seems the promises of God must surely be broken, when it seems all hope is surely lost, God doesn't give up on them. God does not break his promise. God could have saved us by speaking a word, but God doesn't want to love us from a distance. God loves us so much that he is willing to enter our messy situation, our messy lives, our messy hearts. That's where God wants to meet us, in our mess. That's where God wants to bring us hope, where we've given up hope. Isn't that good news, friends? Amen. It's good news for all of us because all of us are in a mess of sin, a mess of one kind or another. That's why we call him Jesus, because God saves us in our mess. There are moments when Wad and Hamza want to give up. They think their hope for a better future is lost. When Sama is born, Hamza and Wad are afraid for their daughter. They're so afraid they might lose her. They're afraid that they're making the wrong choice by staying in Syria. They could have fled to Turkey. They could have run because all their family had run to Turkey. It wasn't safe. And their family in Turkey is putting some shame on them for staying, for keeping a little girl in a war zone. How could they? But in their mess, this little girl, Sama, brings them hope. She gives them courage to believe in a better future and to keep on struggling for peace and for justice and for freedom. When they think all their options have run out, there's still reason to hope, because a child has been born. A child has been born. And our hope is in the child. In the midst of our mess, our hope is in the child who we call Emmanuel, Jesus, Prince of Peace. Our hope is in the child. So as we prepare for Christmas this week, remember that God is not afraid of your mess. God doesn't want to look at you from a distance. God wants to come close. He wants to enter in. He wants to be with you. He wants to bring you through it. He wants to make a way for you where you thought there was no way. Our God keeps his promises. So there is always reason to hope. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.